time ago. Thank you so much for your presence and welcome to the celebration of the World Book Day in our program A Word is Worth a Thousand Images.
And I knew if I had my chance.
Today, we celebrate the pleasure of reading and the book as a contributor to the progress of humankind. I guess you have a favorite writer or playwright, a favorite poem that fills you with joy and excitement, or a novel that creates new emotions in you. That's what literature is about. It's about you and the world.
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
To walk this path of emotions, we have had the collaboration of the following students: Marta, Carmen, Manuel, Itziar, and Rosa. First, they talk about why the 23rd of April is the date for the book and also for the copyright. Then, they explain UNESCO's role in this topic. After that, they comment on Shakespeare's biography. William Shakespeare is one of the most important writers in history, and today, students will remind us about some of his works. And share your thoughts in masquemilimagines@yahoo.es. Bye.
Well, I know that you're in love with him, 'cause I saw you dancing in the gym.
The 23rd of April is a symbolic date for world literature. For on this date in 1616, Cervantes, Shakespeare, and Inca Garcilaso de la Vega all died. It is also the date of birth or death of other prominent authors such as Vladimir Nabokov, Joseph Pla, etc. It was a natural choice for UNESCO's General Conference, held in Paris in 1995, to pay a worldwide tribute to books and authors on this date, encouraging everyone, and in particular young people, to discover the pleasure of reading and gain a renewed respect for the irreplaceable contributions of those who have furthered the social and cultural progress of humanity. In this respect, UNESCO created both the World Book and Copyright Day, and the UNESCO Prize for Children's and Young People's Literature in the Service of Tolerance.
UNESCO's contribution to reading. Being one of the oldest means of communication and distribution, books not only have spiritual, educational, and cultural implications, but also involve the legitimate industrial and economic aspects of the publishing trade. UNESCO's program in this domain aims to support the action of every national and regional actors in the book chain. It is based on a participatory approach and on a partnership with all professionals, political stakeholders, and beneficiaries implied at both national and regional level.
William Shakespeare is recognized as one of literature's greatest influences. Very little is actually known about him. William was born in 1564. William's father was a young Shakespeare, said to be a town official of Stratford and a local businessman. Proof that William was an actor comes from his own performances before Queen Elizabeth herself in 1594, and evidence of William's interest in theatre comes from the Bard's name being listed as a shareholder of the Lord Chamberlain's company, a theatre company. William's theatre presence is again confirmed by his name being recorded as one of the owners of the Globe Theatre in 1599, and he received a patent titling him as one of the king's men, previously called the Chamberlain's men, and a groom of the chamber by James I, the King of England then.
He was mainly a playwright, a dramatist, as Yeats said. Drama describes the adventures of men's souls among the thoughts that are most interesting to the dramatist, and therefore probably most interesting to his time. Shakespeare's age was interested in questions of policy and kingcraft, and so he and his contemporaries played shuttlecock with policy and kingcraft. Doubtless, the character must always have something of the dramatist when it is a character that is pictured from within. It has been said that Shakespeare could not have written the part of Iago unless he had something even of Iago in him. If he had given himself up to his amorous emotions, he would have been Romeo. If to his hatred of the world, he would have been Timon. His Philistinism, he would have been Henry V, and if to his wit, he would have been King Lear. We move on to the sonnets and how the author expresses his love. Sonnet 57 is going to be read. And to finish, his most famous plays: Hamlet, Antony and Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet, and Othello. Hope you enjoy it.
Sonnets. The Sonnets is a collection of poems in sonnet form written by William Shakespeare that deal with such themes as love, beauty, politics, and mortality. They were probably written over a period of several years, and there is a total number of 154 of them. The first 17 sonnets are written to a young man, urging him to marry and have children, thereby passing down his beauty to the next generation. These are called the procreation sonnets. Most of them, however, are addressed to a young man expressing the poet's love for him. Some other sonnets are written to a poet's mistress, expressing his strong love for her. The final two sonnets are allegorical. The final 30 or so sonnets are written about a number of issues, such as the young man's infidelity with the poet's mistress, self-resolution to control his own lust, beleaguered criticism of the world, etc.
Sonnet 57. Being your slave, what should I do to attend upon the hours and times of the desire? I have no precious time at all to spend, nor services to do, till you require. Not dare I tie the world without an hour. Will I, my sovereign, what's the clock for you? Nor think the bitterness of the anxious hour, when you have bid your servant once adieu. Nor dare I question with my jealous thought where you may be, or do the first suppose. But, like a shot slave, I stay a think of naught, save where you are now happy you make those. So true a fool is love that in your will, though you do anything, he thinks no ill.
Shakespeare's plays form one of literature's greatest legacies. Divided into comedies, histories, and tragedies, Shakespeare's plays have spawned thousands of performances, adaptations, and films. From famous tragedies like Macbeth and King Lear to tragic love stories such as Romeo and Juliet to epic historic plays like Antony and Cleopatra, enlighten, sadden, teach, and most important of all, entertain. "To be or not to be" is probably the best known line for all drama or literature. Certainly, if anyone is asked to quote a line of Shakespeare, this is the one that first comes to mind for most people. It is, of course, from Shakespeare's play Hamlet.
To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether this number in the mind to suffer, the slings and arrows for wages fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing them to die, to sleep.
Antony speaks. "I'm dying, Egypt." Antony and Cleopatra, Act 4. Mark Antony speaks these words to Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt, as he lies dying in her arms in this historic tragedy that sweeps across the world from Rome to the East. Antony was fought against his own Rome on the side of Egypt, and was and has lost, following Cleopatra into retreat. Cleopatra has learned that Antony believes she has betrayed him and intends to kill her. And so, she sends false word to him that she has taken her own life. Antony asks his knave, Eros, to kill him. Eros chooses to kill himself instead. He does not die immediately, however, and is brought to Cleopatra's monument, where he utters these words and dies in her arms.
Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are talking, looking on his hands. This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
There is one did laugh in sleep, and one cried, "Mother," that they did wake each other. I stood and heard them, but they did say their prayers.
Macbeth's hands are a sorry sight. They're covered with the blood of King Duncan, whom he has just murdered. Macbeth seems to fuse several related meanings of sorry. On one hand, the sight is painful or distressing. On the other, it provokes remorse or sorrow.
Othello speaks. I pray you in your letters, when you shall this unlucky deed relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved not wisely, but too well. Of one not easily jealous, but being wrought, perplexed in the extreme. This is Othello's swan song. His attempt, before killing himself, to justify having suffocated his blameless wife, Desdemona. The solidity of this speech reveals one side of Othello's personality, calm, cool, and collected. But the fact that Othello seems to have recovered from the jealous passion that drove him to murder his wife doesn't ensure his credibility.
From Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Juliet speaks. Was in a name that which we call a rose, so Romeo would, were he not Romeo colder, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title, Romeo, that thy name, and for that name which is no part of thee, take all myself, by any other name would smell as sweet. Romeo Montag and Juliet Capulet meet and fall in love in Shakespeare's lyrical tale of star-crossed lovers. They are damned from the start as members of two warring families. Here, Juliet tells Romeo that a name is an artificial and meaningless convention, and that she loves the person who is called Montag. Know the Montag name and know the Montag family. Romeo, out of his passion for Juliet, rejects his family name and vows, as Juliet asks, to deny his father and instead be new baptized as Juliet's lover. This one short line encapsulates the central struggle and tragedy of the play. Curiosity is about Shakespeare's time.
Men only. In Elizabethan England, it was illegal for women to perform on stage. Actresses were not permitted until the Restoration, 1660. Boys with their higher voices could usually take the younger female roles.
Confusing twins. Twins provide a fruitful source of comedy in several plays. Having been separated by some accident, each twin then causes confusion among the people they meet, as we can see in Twelfth Night and the Comedy of Errors.
Where to sit? In the Globe, you have the choice of several places to watch and hear a play. For a penny, you could stand in the yard around the stage as a groundling. For 2 pence, you could sit on a wooden seat in a covered gallery set out in a semicircle around the yard. There were 3 tiers of galleries. For another penny, you could hire a cushion to make the seats a little more comfortable, despite the fleas. For 6 pence, you could sit in the Lord's Gallery at either side of the balcony at the back of the stage, which means you were facing the audience and looking down on the play from behind. Like the box of modern theatres, it was more for people who wanted to be seen rather than to see.
Verdi celebrations. Each year, on the Saturday closest to 23rd April, Stratford-upon-Avon hosts the Shakespeare Verdi celebrations. There is a procession to lay floral tributes on Shakespeare's grave, a civic reception, a special lecture, a church service, and an evening play performance by the Royal Shakespeare Company. The idea of an annual celebration dates from the 19th century, but its origins lie in the first Shakespearean festival on 1769, which established Stratford as a place of literary pilgrimage.